Dwayne, Raptors win. Get out the salami and cheese, mama. This ball game is over. There you go, folks. It's all good.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 18 of the Untitled Raptors podcast. It's playoff season. It's the new season. We're excited. This is the time where I think Kawhi plays 30 minutes a game.
33 minutes.
Regardless, welcome. Thanks you all for joining. We're going to make it a short and sweet episode, hopefully recapping the Toronto Raptors this past week. And let's go on from that. Akshay, how was your weekend, buddy?
It was good. We won our hockey championship today. Me and you played defense, so we do not show up on the score sheet, but nobody else is here to say anything. So we were all vital to this victory.
Absolutely, and I don't think any of our hockey members actually listen to this podcast. So how about this? I'm going to take a hot take right now. Me and you scored all the goals. We're MVPs of this entire thing. If anyone wants to come and dispute that, please let us know in the next 24 hours. There you go.
This is how you test if your friends listen to your stuff. You just start dropping all this random stuff and see if they ever say anything about it, which so far, nobody said anything.
So I think we're okay right now, right? So exactly. No one's listening here.
Oh, how do you feel about all the panic in Raptor land right now?
The panic in Raptor land I don't feel the panic, but I feel the panic when DJ Augustine decides to hit like 28 points. I'm just like, oh my God.
25. Don't give me 25.
25 points. And it's only fair. The guy has gone through a lot.
He was a former Raptor.
Well, he was also a former Charlotte Bobcat.
How many teams has he played for? Let's play a game. How many teams do you think DJ Augustine has played for off the top of your head?
I'm going with 9.
9. Okay, let me see. Charlotte, Indiana, Toronto, Chicago, Detroit, OKC, Denver, and Orlando. Well, that's not actually as many as I thought.
How many is it?
6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7. 7 teams.
That's not bad. He's good around the league.
Well, he's only 31 and he's played for 7 teams. So it's almost a new team every year. Well, pretty much he played the first four years with Charlotte, and then he's played on 6 other teams in the last like 6 years.
I don't even know if you count it as like Charlotte history or is it just like Bobcat history, just something completely different.
But his stats on when he played for the Raptors, he averaged 2 points and 1 assist in 10 games.
Most improved player? Anyone? Yeah. Yes, this is the real most improved player here.
Yeah. But he played a lot for Orlando this year. He started for them. Okay, let's not talk about DJ Augustine. He's not worth talking about for a whole podcast. Let's get into some likes and dislikes.
Let's do it.
I don't even know where you're sitting at. Like.
Okay, so likes and dislikes. So this week there was only one game, obviously. The one game where the Raptors lost. They ended up losing by 3 on a DJ Augustine 3-pointer. Todd, let's go through your likes and dislikes for this game.
What I liked here was Marc Gasol, the Gasolina D. Amazing. He made Vucevic play a very different type of games. If you watch the game on Tuesday and see how Gasol plays Vucevic. Anytime a screen comes in where it's DJ Augustine versus Vucevic, he stays back on Vucevic, making sure that he doesn't get that pick and pop shot or easy jumper or easy layup in the thing. Very good defense, right? Passing still on point. 23 assists is very good, and we missed a lot of open shots. So keep that up. Like, that was good passing all the way through. And Siakam came to play. That's the best one. There were a few transition points, which I liked as well, but not as many. I think you mentioned that the transition points were all within a 3-minute span, which is true. But Siakam came to play. And for all those Jonathan Isaac lovers, who I don't know where they came out of, Siakam is clearly the differentiator. And he played really, really well. He didn't hit any of his corner threes, which somehow were hitting at a remarkable 44% clip. But good for Siakam for, you know, showing up his doubters, using that footwork. And so some of the shots he made, you just look at it and you're like, that's such a horrible shot. If I took this shot, as a coach, you'd be screaming at someone for taking this weird-ass shot. But, you know, I guess Siakam plays, that's how he plays. You know, he's been able to make those shots.
He's an interesting case study. Like, if he played 15 years ago, I don't think he would be even, like, he may not be much more than an energy big that comes off the bench, right? Like, because he just, everything is so unconventional about the way he does it.
Absolutely. Like, I think he'd get like, he'd get benched at the game because if he, you take some of these shots and you see them miss, obviously some of them will miss, right?
Yeah.
Coach would just ram you out with like some of these running hook jumpers on your left hand banking off the top end of the board. Like, they're so bad, but good for Siakam.
They look bad, but they're effective.
Yeah, they do look horrible. Don't mimic them in the gym, anyone.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go with my dislikes as well.
What are your dislikes?
My dislikes is our offense was slow. We should be scoring more than – we scored 104 points per possession here. We have 104 points here. We are normally scoring 115 per average game. So obviously we missed a lot of open shots, and we should be a lot better than that. Perimeter D, I don't think we were good. Like, I mean, 14 to 29, you let Orlando shoot 48, 49%. They're a 37% shooting team. We've got to be better. We're actually a decent three-point perimeter defense team at allowing offenses to shoot 34%. Now, the numbers I take, if you note, I take it all the way from February onwards. So it's a little different in that sense. Orlando had the best perimeter D at 31 effective field goal all season. So we've got to be better at, like, avoiding that. So we've got to be better at shooting our three balls. That's all. And last thing, free throw attempts. We have 14 attempts. 14 attempts. Let that sink in. You know what the second lowest is? Is 20. And that's Orlando. That you can, and of all the teams that play this weekend, 14 is the lowest. We can't do that. And we missed like six of them.
Yeah. The percentages across the board on this game were not good for the Raptors. Like in free throws, field goal, and three.
Yeah, you got to make more shots.
Yeah. So likes and dislikes for me. I liked Kyle's floor game. I mean, he was plus 11. I thought he was good. He had 8 assists, 2 turnovers. As a team, the assist to turnover ratio was good. The assists were down. Like, usually there's like that magical 30 assist mark where if they get 30 assists, they blow the other team out pretty much. But obviously the playoffs are going to be a little bit harder. The pace is going to be slowed down, so you're not going to get a lot of those, you know, really easy assists where you throw the ball up ahead to Siakam and get an assist, or, you know, it's a scramble play and, you know, there's a corner three for Danny Green or something like that. I understand, like, the numbers don't look great, but I didn't think the defense was terrible. I thought they probably actually went in with a game plan to shut down Vucevic, which they did a great job of, and Aaron Gordon and all those guys. And they're like, if DJ Augustin beats us, so be it. Like, that's probably what the game plan was. You have to give up something, right? And he did.
And he made all the shots. And you're like, oh my God.
Yeah. So you go in with that game plan, and you actually did a pretty good job on there. Like, Fournier didn't look like wasn't effective. Aaron Gordon didn't seem that effective. Vucevic didn't. Like, it was really DJ Augustin who killed us. And so you give up something. Now, if you give that up again in game two, is DJ Augustin going to score 25 points? I don't know. I would put money on no, but it just happens sometimes in if you take like a one game sample size. My dislike obviously was 3-point shooting. If the Raptors are ever in high 20s or low 30s for the 3-point shooting, it just becomes a bad, just becomes like a very choppy bad game that looks bad, and it ends up typically being a close game. If they shoot in the high 30s, low 40s for the 3-point percentage, it ends up looking like a great, fantastic game where they kill the other team because they're getting essentially another 10 points or 12 points or whatever out of threes, you know? So that was kind of my big thing. And then fast break points, I wish they had more, but, you know, it's the playoffs. I expected it to drop a little bit. My last one is Kyle's 0 points. Before we get into this.
Hold on.
Yes, yes.
A moment of silence for zero.
Him holding up the Wilt Chamberlain sign with the zero. That meme was going around too. So many memes of Kyle Zero were going around.
Zero.
So usually I don't have an issue with bad shooting nights because it happens all the time. And it doesn't matter if you're playing in the NBA or you're playing a pickup game at the Y. Like, everybody has bad shooting nights. It's always going to happen. I just want to turn off this narrative that Kyle Lowry has been bad in the playoffs. He has not been. The Trash Bros nickname, which was started in 2014 or 20. When did we 2015? When did we face the Wizards and get our butt kicked?
Something like
that. Yeah. So that when that nickname started back then, like they that he was trash then. That was also fat Kyle Lowry. That's before he changed his body. Yeah. He basically couldn't keep up with the.
That was when Gravis Vasquez was hitting early putting shots and doing shimmies right after it.
Yeah, and the last 31 games since the Miami series in 2016, he's got 18.6 points, 6.5 assists on 46% shooting and 38% from three. That's pretty much Kyle Lowry's numbers, right? Like, that's not much different. Those are all-star numbers.
No, but, like, the most important thing is Shaq doesn't like Kyle Lowry, and Shaq keeps bringing that up.
Yeah, so this narrative that he's been trash in the playoffs is not true. The narrative that DeMar was not good in the playoffs is true. He had much worse numbers than Kyle did. And he also doesn't do much for you from a playmaking perspective and defense perspective like Kyle does. So I don't really love the narrative. With that being said, I don't like the 0 points. I don't think any all-star player, even if your shot is not falling, should be able to get 0 points. You have to figure out a way to put some points on the board, not because the points really matter that much. I get it. Like you may trade off a Kyle Lowry shot with a Danny Green corner shot or a Marcus All post move, but really it's just to keep the defense honest. That's the main thing. You could see that they were by the fourth, they weren't even caring about him because they could tell that his confidence was shot.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that the 3-point shooting was weak as well. I mean, Kyle Lowry took six of those 3-point shots. He's quite a lot to do with that, right? So, yeah, you got to make a little one or two. But I think it's also a thing. This is where I think I really question Nurse as well. Like, you got to drop some plays to get Kyle Lowry to the bucket. Like, you kind of have to, right? But he did get some open shots. But if the open shots aren't going in, you got to get some layups. You got to get him in there trying to get those easy free throws, everything. Two free throws, he missed them. That's fine. But start when your shot's not going in. We've seen this time and time again. You go to the post, go in the paint, try to get that, get those free throws, right?
Especially with DJ Augustine guarding you, like come on,
it's not even a real guard, like DJ Augustine, like come on. Oh, DJ Augustine is probably like looking at himself right now and be like, I'm the most Googled athlete right now by all of Canada right now. And people are just Googling, who is this guy? And then they realize he played for us. Oh, yes.
10 games, 2 points. So I can't, like, that's why the 0 points bother me, because you could tell he was being hesitant and that they were leaving him in the fourth quarter. There was one play in the fourth quarter where he basically drove and he had a foul line jumper. And he passed it to the corner.
I remember that one.
I was like, just shoot it, man. It's like wide open foul line jumper. Like, just shoot it. And as you could tell, his confidence was shot. So what do you think Nick Nurse is going to do in terms of adjustments? You know, this is kind of the fun thing about series, is that there's always these, like, games within the games, you know, where they've got adjustments going on.
I was saying to someone, I was like, I really like Nick Nurse because of his in-game adjustments. He does do that really well. This game, I think it wasn't as evident because I think it was just like it was one person destroying us. But then if Kyle Lowry is not going, he had Freddie V guarding him for a bit. So, and to be honest with Augustine, I think the game plan was very similar, like shut down everyone else, let Augustine beat us. And you know what? It backfired. He did beat us. The Nick Nurse adjustments, I think the one is more important. I think he's going to try to get Kawhi 38 to 40 minutes a game. Yeah. Pascal played 42, which is a bit too much. Bring that down. Kawhi and Pascal are going to be around the 38 mark, just so we can get our games through him. And Kawhi is the ultimate thing. If Kyle Lowry, if the offense is stagnant, give it to Kawhi, because Kawhi's ISO game is killer. It's fantastic. And I think one thing, another adjustment I'd love to see Nurse make is to get Gasol more involved within the paint. You know, we've seen a little bit of that. Get the post game in, get that confidence going, so it sucks up a lot of the defense to get Kyle Lowry some open shots and open layups, right? Some cuttings. Because if you know Gasol is a guy who passes the ball out. Kyle's got to pass it, run to the bucket, get those layups, get those cuts going. We didn't see that many cuts at all from Gasol, to be honest with you, yesterday. But Gasol didn't make any good passes. So get Gasol a bit more involved in that offense would be really key. What about you?
So I think the OG loss, obviously, I don't think it's going to cost them the series, but I think it does hurt the series because they need a backup four. They don't have size. Like, they're actually a pretty small team now after they traded JV. And so you needed OG to be the backup four. And what I think is going to happen now is I saw, like, he played the two bigs lineup with, and I didn't really love it. I know it's just one game. I didn't really love it. I think what'll happen is he'll play Kawhi. He'll split Kawhi and Siakam's bench minutes and let them play the four with the bench. And so that's what I think will happen, depending on the that way you will get Kawhi's minutes up naturally to 38-40. I think Siakam might play 40-42 all the time. I don't think that's going to come down, but I mean, he's young and whatever. And I think early on, Nick Nurse isn't really a coach who calls a lot of plays during game. Like, he lets his point guards kind of decide the plays, right? But I think in this case, he's going to call Kyle to get some plays early on for himself, just to get him going downhill, just to get his confidence going, see the ball going through the basket. And then it's just like you have a totally different confidence just for the whole game, right? If you just see the ball go through the basket early on, a couple of baskets, it makes you feel way better. So those are what I think is going to happen. I don't still think it's panic. I wanted a short series because I just think the rest is valuable for these guys, but may not be so short now. We'll see.
Yeah, I think I absolutely agree with you on that one. Who knows what's going to happen with this team as well, right? I mean, I was expecting a relatively short. I know Orlando is like giving us a little bit of a pain in the ass a little while, but I didn't like it was kind of eye opening just to see get our butts kicked early on, so we can hopefully get into playoff mode and get ready to go. You know, so yeah, absolutely. So looking forward to game two, man. Yeah. But
there was no panic in the Raptors post game though. Like none of the people.
Okay, hold on. I'm gonna take 10 seconds about post game. Yeah. I love the post game. It's entertaining. It's good. Exciting. Russell Westbrook came out and they just lost against who did they lose? They lost against the Blazers.
Yeah.
The guy asked him like simple questions. It wasn't even like hard questions. It was basically asking Russell Westbrook is like, Dame came out. Dame played hard. What do you think about that? How are you going to respond? The guy went next question. That was like Enes Kanter came out, played hard. He's your old teammate. This was like a revenge game for him. What do you think about that? Next question. Come on. Yeah. Like Russell Westbrook is like one like privileged athlete, I think, like one away, right? You can say whatever the hell he wants, says nothing. The media takes the blame for it, right? And he blames the media for almost saying him, Kevin Durant, all made from the same cloth. Just say the right things. That's all they want to hear. This helps the fans. Fans like us want to hear from the athletes themselves. As long as you don't say anything stupid, you're pretty good.
Yeah, just say the same cliche stuff over and over again. We're still going to listen.
That's all you have to do. Creating this kind of drama and like stupid shit doesn't help anything, right? The media needs to do their jobs. The fans want to get entertained. Say stuff that's exciting. Create the hype for the series. Whatever it is, don't say shit like this.
So I agree with you generally about athletes. In this case, with Westbrook, it's a very specific person that he does it to. His name is Barry Trammell. So if you're curious, search Barry Trammell, Russell Westbrook. They have a history going back 4 years where he doesn't like this one particular beat reporter and he just basically ignores all his questions. And this guy just keeps asking the questions basically because he doesn't want the media to lose the leverage. So he just keeps asking it so people see that Westbrook keeps doing this to him. And I agree with him. Like, he's doing his job, right? Like, sometimes he asks tough questions. It's fine. That's what the fans want to know.
As long as you're not asking stupid questions, like I think one of that stupid reporter who asked Kawhi, can you laugh?
Yeah.
Shit like that. I think you should be good, right? Anything goes, right? Anyway, so that's the next thing. But anyway, I don't want to take too much time. Let's go on a quick recap of the week, just predictions.
Yes, so we didn't do predictions because we didn't do a podcast before the playoffs started. So we are going to do our predictions now, even though everybody's played at least one game. There's a game going on right now where Houston's up by 15. So we're going to do our quick predictions for all eight series. So Magic versus Raptors.
I got Raps in six.
I got Raps in five. I think they're going to steamroll them now. That's what I think, but we'll see.
I hope.
We'll see. Now, I'm going to say that now, and then they're going to go to six, and I'm going to get some pings on WhatsApp or something. Oh, remember when you said they're going to win in five, and now we're in the sixth game? That's going to happen for sure. Sorry, I made a wrong prediction. Nets and Sixers.
Sixers and seven.
I said Sixers and six. But yeah, I mean, I could see either way. Clippers and Warriors.
Oh, this is Warriors in four. This is, I think the Warriors is just too good.
They're just like, they have, and the thing is the Clippers just don't have anybody to score. I know we talk a lot about Lou Williams, but like, Lou Williams can't be your guy. Like,
he's not your guy. Yeah. He's the guy that helps you get into the seventh or eighth spot of the playoffs. Yeah. He's not a guy that's going to get you anywhere further. That's all he is.
They literally have three scorers who are all significantly better than Lou Williams on the Warriors, you know? So, yeah, I said Warriors in 4-2. Spurs and Nuggets.
Spurs in six, man. I'm happy for the Spurs. Yeah, yeah.
I said DeMar Spurs in seven. I think this is going to be an upset series.
I almost feel like we're not giving the Nuggets enough credit at all. Like, they are a fantastic team. But, like, the way Pop handles that offense with shooting only 15 threes the last game and the way they handle it is impressive.
So. Yeah, I mean, it's. I don't think that they're obviously not bad, the Nuggets. They're a great team. But the Nuggets, it's the hey, these guys are young. Like, Jamal Murray's, like, real first playoff run, you know. They've got like Jokic being the focal point of an offense, like his first playoff run doing that, things like that. Like, they're going to get hit so much harder. And so we'll see. I mean, that's probably why I picked Spurs in seven. Jazz and Rockets.
I got Rockets in six.
Six. I put Rockets.
Sometimes I feel like I'm giving the Jazz a bit too much credit.
Yeah.
But the Jazz have been the best. I'll quote you. Look at the stats. Best defensive efficiency since the All-Star break. They've been phenomenal. Not doing phenomenal today. They're getting their ass whooped here. But they've been really good. So I'm hoping they can actually turn it on the defensive end. But
yeah, I said Rockets in five. I just don't see any stopping James Harden on this one. Pacers and Celtics. This was such a weird game today. I left for an hour and I came back and it looked like the Pacers only scored like 20 points. I was like, is this the actual score? It's like 69 points with a minute to go.
I think at one point Pacers had eight points in the third quarter and 9 points in the fourth quarter. And the only reason why it went up in the end is because of like garbage time, you know, time. And they just scored it up. They just jacked up the score, but it was awful. I've got Celtics in seven.
I have Celtics in six and then Thunder at Blazers.
Oh, I got Blazers in seven, man. Yeah,
I put Thunder in seven. The only reason I didn't pick the Blazers on this one, I was thinking about it. Originally, I did say the Blazers, and then I thought about it. I was like, Nurkic is out, and I feel like that's Steven Adams' advantage. Here you go.
This is a hot take. Westbrook is going to push the Thunder out of this completely.
So?
Oh, my God. He did it today. He starts taking these ridiculous shots. I think he had like an air ball. Like, you've got Paul George open. Granted, Paul George is not shooting well.
And he's hurt. He's been playing hurt, I think.
Oh, he's got his shoulders fully bandaged up, right? Yeah. So he's been but Westbrook didn't shoot. Westbrook can't shoot. And none of them – was it Markieff Morris? That's the Morris that's on the team. He can't play either. He's been pretty garbage. Everyone on that team has been pretty crashed.
Got Patrick Patterson. It's okay. He's going to save them.
He's going to get like 1 minute a game. Jack down one of those three-pointers, this corner three-pointers that he does.
I would be shocked if he gets even 1 minute a game.
It's Dame time, buddy. It's Dame time.
And the series that is already over, Bucks and Pistons.
Oh, this is Bucks and one.
Yeah, Bucks. This is Bucks and one. Yeah.
As Monica mentioned, Bucks and one.
Bucks
Monica,
and
I'm
one.
Crediting Monica for this thing. Monica said Bucks and one, so that's what it is. I agree. It's Bucks and one.
Yeah, with no Blake Griffin. Oh, my God. They just got – what was the final score today? They lose by like 35?
They were up by like 44 points. I was talking to my cousin right before this, FaceTiming him during the game, and I'm like, this is not even fun. Like, why are you watching? Like, this is like, and this is like, this should be played on the Comedy Network. It's a joke. Like, this is some bad VH1 stuff. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's not going to be a fun series. This should be the NBA TV series for sure. So those are our predictions. We'll keep track of them and we'll revisit them in a couple of weeks and see how close we are and how wrong we were, I guess. anything else, Talib? We'll leave this. We'll keep this podcast nice and short.
Absolutely nothing. Nothing else. We're ready to go. Shoot us on Instagram. Any questions, let us know. And there's a clock. Boom, boom. It's time.
Oh, the birds have started. Okay, that means we got to get out of here. Okay, everybody, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Perfect. See ya.